Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host, William Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Logie and Teresa Salmon. Say hi to the people, folks.
Hello.
Yeah, so this episode is going to be for November 20th, 2021. It's the week before Thanksgiving, and all that entails. Man, Thanksgiving is going to be an absolute riot this year, isn't it? Because everybody got to remember, this is the first Thanksgiving we've had since the vaccines have been out. And so everybody's ready to go out and get up with all their loved ones and get together all under a single roof. And, well... Yeah, hopefully the case numbers for COVID have been climbing a little bit because, you know, that tends to be how it happens. They kind of go in like a 2-month cycle. And winter is coming, which is just an absolute fantastic way for it to just spread. And, you know, we're all going to be indoors and trying to keep warm and just so much fun. just so anybody knows, if we end up not doing a show next week, it's because we're either still going to be out of town or we're, you know, recovering from the food coma still.
Yeah.
So, what do we got this week? Well, we got that one big story that everybody's talking about. You know, the one. We don't have to tell you what it is. We're going to be talking about it at the very tippy top of the show. Of course, we also had some good stuff happen as well. We'll be telling you about that, including some good news on the COVID front and also news on the infrastructure bill, which was officially signed into law this week. We will be talking about that as well. There's also the other bill, the Build Back Better bill. It passed in the House. We'll be talking about that also. And of course, we'll be talking about the bullshittery that's been going on with the Postal Service. And of course, we've also got some movie trailers, including one particular trailer about one very infamous videotape that spread like crazy back in the late 90s.
Oh.
Yeah. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out when we tell you.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just say it was one of those things that got put on the internet and spread like crazy. You know, when it was still 90s internet. Yeah. It involved a certain drummer and a certain Baywatch star. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, that videotape. Yeah, so we got all that and this more on this week's exciting edition of Let's Weekend. So, to start us all off, let's talk about what we've been doing other than, you know, dealing with the cold. Teresa, what you been doing?
Dealing with the cold. No. I did turn on my, I did turn the heater on this week.
Mm-hmm.
It was balls ass cold, okay?
So, yeah.
It went on.
Yeah.
It went on. And we have natural gas, and Nicor has doubled our hourly rate. So, huzzah. I hear that is pretty common across the nation right now. So, whatever. At least we don't live in a big ass house anymore. I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to turn on my goddamn heater and enjoy it. But I have been playing the Norseland expansion for Kingdom Two Crowns that came out on Tuesday. We still haven't beaten a campaign yet because life is really getting in the way of gaming at the moment. So far, totally dig it. Definitely worth the $6.99. I mean, especially for us. We're kind of nuts about that game.
No kidding.
You know, well, it's because, like, every time I want to get back and I'm like, oh God, I need to finish Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm like, I don't fucking remember the controls. Okay, I'm going to play Ghost of Tsushima. I didn't finish that yet. I don't fucking remember the controls. You know what, guys? I'm getting old. Sometimes you just need to play something where I don't have to worry about the fucking controls. And right now that's kind of hitting that. And I like strategy, so anyway. I've also been playing a decent amount of New Genesis Phantasy Star Online 2. I have one job class up to 19, and once I get that to 20, I only have one more job class remaining. I have Bouncer at 7. So I'm hoping to get Bouncer to 20 before the December update drops and there's a whole bunch of new content. And I believe all of the level caps are going to increase, but I can't remember if it's up to 30 or up to 40. But anyway, the level caps will go up. So I've been working on that. Pat, of course, has beaten me to it. He is already at 20 on all of them. He just got that the other day.
Of course.
I know, right? We've been watching The Expanse because we didn't watch that last December when it dropped. So we're probably halfway through last season. Probably just in time for a new season to drop. And we're back to watching Dragon Ball Z. We had a big long break on that, but we're back. We picked up immediately exactly where we left off because, I mean, it's Dragon Ball Z. You know, you could probably skip three episodes and still pick up exactly where you left off.
Yeah, that's why they eventually came out with like Dragon Ball Z Kai because,
We
cut out
thought
all the
about doing
filler.
it. Yeah, we thought about doing it, but man, we're just gonna long road it. And I got my booster. I got that on Monday. And yeah, Monday at lunch. Monday at lunch. Didn't sleep that great Monday night. It was like my thoughts and my dreams were colliding, and I didn't know if I was awake or if I was asleep. And this may sound weird, but I normally have some semblance of control over my dreams. If I have a dream that I don't like, I'll say, well, this is just fucking bullshit, and I'll decide not to dream that anymore. Or I'll wake myself up. I'm like, I don't want to have this dream. This is stupid.
Funny for you to say that. I sort of taught myself to recognize if I'm in a dream or not. And it's, yeah, like, did you do that too?
Where you can do a little bit of lucid dreaming, as they call it. Yep.
Although mine typically don't last too long because apparently my imagination rebels once I find out that I got
Yeah,
control over it. And it's like, nope, no more fun time for you.
now we're gonna wake you up. But it is kind of fun when you get to that point in your dream, you're like, ah, shit, I'm dreaming. Ah, fucking awesome, I'm gonna fly.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that. That's usually how mine end up too.
Yeah, that's my
It's like,
favorite thing
screw it,
to
I'm
do.
just gonna
I
break
really
open
like
the
that.
window and fly.
But it was really weird, and I was throwing my covers off and pulling back on, and then I wake up Tuesday morning and I realize, oh, balls, I think I'm having a an actual it's not a vaccine reaction, it's an immune response. And so I took my temperature, and sure enough, my temperature was up a little bit, and the tinnitus in my right ear was a lot more than it usually is. And I chalked that up to the temperature. And sure enough, as soon as I took some Tylenol and it broke, it was good to go. But most of the day, I didn't have a temperature and I was a little sniffly and I coughed some and I felt like shit. It was enough that I was just basically bitchy, but really happy to have that basically bitchy because I don't want to fucking catch COVID. So,
Well, I don't want to
and
catch COVID again. So,
right? Right, everybody that I've talked to at work who has had it is just like, this is the worst shit. Like, I believe you. I believe you. So since, and especially since we're going to Kentucky, and being in Kentucky is like going shopping in Wheaton, where nobody fucking knows how to use a goddamn mask. Please keep in mind that we still have a statewide mask mandate.
In
So
Illinois,
yes, ours is statewide. And today we were out, and we went by a Culver's, and we had to make that hard decision. Well, the parking lot's kind of empty. Do we want to go ahead and eat inside? And kiddo said, "Yeah, let's just go through the drive-thru." And sure fucking enough, every goddamn worker in there was unmasked. So I think we made the right call on that. But I, it's. It's just annoying. It just wears you down having to worry about all this shit. But I am very glad that I got the booster. And I told Brandon this before we started podcasting. Scott went along with me during lunch and he said, "Hey, since I'm here, can I get one too?" He's like, "No, you have to do the reservation." This was at CVS because we have a certain amount and we need to make sure that we're able to service the kids as well as the adults. And we don't want to run out of serum or something like that.
That's
So,
right.
yeah. So still with that, I guess. But yeah, it was quick. It was pretty much painless. And I'm a lot more covered than I was before. So yay, that's me.
All right, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, it's been cold as hell here as well. We had some snow on Sunday. Enough that there was still a little bit left on Monday morning. After
Oh.
that, though, then it warmed up enough that I could wear shorts again this week, and then went right back to being freezing cold. That was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, because screw your sinuses, right?
Yeah, and it's just it makes it a lot of fun trying to make sure you're dressed properly for that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's been most of the week. Just been busy with work, so I've been doing a ton of stuff. But I have watched Cowboy Bebop, the new Netflix series.
Ooh, how's it stand up?
I like it a lot.
Good,
It
good.
feels like a more focused sort of show, whereas the original has a lot of one-off stuff that they do for a while, and then it's like, oh yeah, let's go into this whole Spike and Vicious thing at the end. Here they kind of weave that stuff throughout the show as a sort of sign that, you know, that's kind of thing that drives a lot of the plot. As they, you know, early on they're doing going for a lot of bounties and fucking up in some way or another. They do cover a few of the sort of topics that are in the anime. Not too much though. There's the eco terrorists they've shown in the trailers that have a bit of a different thing going on than the monkey thing. The two lovers that are trying to get out of Dodge as they're being chased by the syndicate, I think. That's a thing in there. There's a couple other things as well that tie things together, but the main cast does a really good job. I like them a lot. And yeah, the music's all there. It's pretty fun. Like I said, it also depends on just how much you think the original show is like a huge masterpiece that, you know, can't be touched or anything if you're super precious about it, which I'm not, because there's a number of episodes in the anime that I'm just not a huge fan of, and others that I like a lot more, which were more the jokey ones that I liked a lot more, the humorous ones. But here they kind of do a good job of going back and forth with a bit more kind of consistency to it. But yeah, they also bring in Ayn for a good bit, and you even hear a little bit about a hacker named Ed. So I think they're setting up for a season two. Not 100% sure, but I think that would be fun to see because they do leave some plot points from the original show kind of dangling there that I think would be a fun thing there for a bit as the way that the whole thing ends. So yeah, that's Cowboy Bebop. It's only 10 episodes, so it's not too terribly long. The final episode is kind of the biggest one, I think, like 45 minutes. The rest are about 30 minutes or so, so it's not too bad of a time sink. But
Cool.
as our game's been playing more of GTA 3, the Definitive Edition, as part of the trilogy that I've gotten, and still liking it. There was one mission that I was doing that was like near the end of the first island's set of missions that was just pissing me off. It's the one where basically all hell breaks loose between the mafia and the triad. You're driving around and having to take out like three targets. And they're like, oh, here's two guys to go with you. And they're completely useless because the first guy, you can just drive the vehicle up and run the first guy over. But then you need to swap into a specific truck because the last part goes into like the fish factory. That you need a specific truck. And so there's one guy that can't go because it's only a two-seater. It had plenty of times like getting that thing blown up or just getting destroyed there because it's in this alleyway that's in the middle of the Triads area.
Yeah.
That is hard to get in and out of.
Mm-hmm.
But I managed to beat that one eventually, like after like 10 tries or so. I did have a crash during that section at one point. Luckily, it does an autosave right at the start. So you kind of, I didn't have to lose that much progress there. What else then? Though I did have one where I got to the final area, was driving around trying to find the final guy I had to kill and lure him out because I think he just hangs out on this dock, essentially. Once he got down, then my truck got blown up. I was like, fuck, got blown up right at the end of the mission. But eventually got it, and yeah, still liking that. It's it definitely shows its age for the way those missions are designed. Mm-hmm. There's not too much shooting in those missions because they knew back then that the shooting was not very good. Now it's a bit better because you have more free control of the aiming. You can even fine tune how much it auto locks on, which is good if you're trying to cause some mayhem. Like potentially blow up vehicles. Because this one, it's a bit tougher to blow up vehicles. The vehicles are pretty tough. But yeah, I've been doing some of the side stuff as well. I got all the hidden packages in the first island. I used the guide for that, which was just a map. Telling where most of the stuff is. There are a couple that I had to keep playing missions to get to. There's like one in the subway system. There's like one in a specific area that you need a boat to get to.
Yeah.
Which you kind of don't get access to until like the very last mission for that island. But now I'm on Staunton Island, which I also did the vehicle stuff where they want the specific vehicles to be brought to that one warehouse. Which a lot of those are pretty hard to get. But then I get the second island, boom, here's like half of them are just driving around normally like they haven't been super rare on the first island, so I managed to get a bunch of those. But I'm starting up the story missions where I just like the first one you do for the Yakuza is like, oh, you have to go back and kill the one guy that leads the mafia. So I got to prove you're not loyal to them, which was an annoying mission because it. It's like, oh, you have to go over there, and then you have to wait until this specific time when they come out. And then they show you this cutscene, like, oh, he's getting out here. I was like, oh, cool, I can drive up. And they're like, I spotted you, and they blow you up pretty quick. Second time, I waited and saw them driving around. I was like, trying to just ram him up. But then he just kind of managed to get around and get away and get back into his mansion. So next time, I just grabbed like a big army vehicle, block up the side of the road, waited for them to come up, and I just started throwing grenades. Because now that I've collected a bunch of these hidden packages, I have stashes of weapons I can pick up at the hideouts, which I do every time I go back. So I have like 90 grenades, which is enough to blow up a couple vehicles with the mafia in them. So now it's a fun time. Only real noise, and it seems like now every gang on that side, that island is pissed at me, so they just start shooting at me anytime I'm driving through. Which isn't a huge issue if you're just driving through.
Yeah.
It's more when you're trying to do stuff around there. It's like I still have some races and other side missions to do. I don't know if I'll actually do those. I'm more interested in just the hidden stuff, the hidden packages and that kind of stuff, the vehicle, finding the special vehicles. But yeah, that's been fun. I started up GTA Vice City just a little bit to see how that is. And I was like, oh, these vehicles blow up a lot faster. I yep. just sit there and beat on them. Which I got to the like nightclub. I'm like, I'll just park my vehicle across both lanes and start beating on it. And it blew up and blew up a bunch of vehicles. It's like, ooh, here's some yep. free money. Free money here.
Yeah.
For all the people that were around it. That kind of stuff. And the whole vibe and atmosphere of GTA Vice City is just fun as hell.
Well, yeah. I think it was actually like it. I'm not entirely sure, but I think Vice City actually outsold GTA 3.
Possibly.
And I also sort of really give that game credit for basically starting the whole 80s nostalgia trend that started right around that time.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. There's some songs that I think have been taken out of the soundtrack, especially like Michael Jackson stuff.
As well, yeah. I'm
surprised that it's not back in, but there's still a lot of good stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the
game had a killer soundtrack. It really did.
Yeah. In GTA 3, I've been just having fun just driving around with Chatterbox going on.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid shit going on there. Because Lazo's
Although, personally, I preferred Maurice Chavez from Vice City. I just thought he was... It was just a bit weirder.
Yeah. But, like, they do have some interesting bits there, like the dude that's a nudist.
Mm-hmm. But
he ends his segment like, oh, winter's just invented by the clothing companies. He's like, well, enjoy your shriveled bits, so.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And there's the ads for things like, oh, the ordering the pets online.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, it comes in a box.
Yeah.
Probably going to be dead, but.
Yeah.
Hey, you can do that online.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's been fun to jump into.
My favorite, like, as far as like radio ads for GTA goes, my favorite is still from GTA 5. It's the radio commercial for Pride Not Prejudice, which is supposed to be like a first person shooter that takes place in the most dangerous place on earth, the South.
Yeah.
Seriously, if you have not heard it, just go on YouTube, go on, you know, just type in GTA 5 Pride Not Prejudice. It'll give you both of those commercials. It's hilarious.
Yep. So that's been a lot of fun with the GTA stuff. Gonna keep putting some more time in, though. I did start getting some Black Friday stuff. I picked up Tales of Arise just a little bit ago because that's, I think, $42.
Yep.
We'll probably talk a bit about that tomorrow. Black Friday
yeah.
prices.
Yeah.
What else did I pick up? I'm not sure if it's from the Black Friday sale, but Jeff Minter's other games went on sale. Moose Life, there's Minotaur Arcade Collection, which is like a few of his like smaller games that he refashioned as like 3D games that can also be played in VR. Same goes for Moose Life, and I think Polybius is also on sale, but I already had that, so that wasn't necessarily anything that I had to rebuy or anything. I also got the Castlevania Advance Collection. Played a little bit of Circle of the Moon, which started in a way that I was not expecting. Because I thought I had played, at least started that game a few times, where you just like traditionally just go walk into the castle kind of thing. But you start in the castle and then meet Dracula, and then he just fucking destroys the floor below you. And you just go falling to the bottom of the castle. And she's like, I'm free to go do whatever. It's like, oh, okay. I didn't remember this whole bit. There's like cards. I don't know what to do with those and all that kind of stuff. It's weird. But yeah, for other games I've been playing is Rocket League. The new season started, so I've been just playing some of that. That one's space themed now. Themed around the, I forget what it's called, one of the arenas. Seems like they've been just picking one of the arenas that they... like, and they theme a bunch of stuff around it. The last one was sort of Wild West, themed around the Wasteland map. And this one's more about the space map, which is really cool. I got some neat stuff on the Battle Pass, but that's been pretty much it for me. How about you, Brandon?
Well, first things for me, getting use out of that Because, you know, sort of during this drought, I've been getting a lot of use out of my PS Now subscription. Specifically, I started playing Prey 2017, the one that was put out by Arkane a couple of years ago. Anybody, I think, it, for those of you who don't remember the original Prey, it was a game that was put out by 3D Realms back in the day. And it was pretty good, don't get me wrong. And apparently there was like this time where they were bouncing around to different studios to make either a sequel or a remake or something. Like, it ended up in the hands of, I think it ended up with, like, Human Head Studios at one point. I think people get Fly got it for a brief time. And eventually it ended up in the hands of Arkane. And basically they just threw out everything that had happened before it and decided to basically make the kind of game they wanted, which, if you've ever played an Arkane game, like, say, Dishonored, which is another game I played this week, you kind of know what they're all about. They like to make the, or for another more recent example, Deathloop, they have this thing where they like to make these game worlds that are, like, fully immersive and interactive. People literally call them immersive sims, where, you know, you're not cut off by, like, just invisible walls or anything. You can, you know, pretty much any part of the map that you see that looks like it can be accessible is accessible, including, you know, the rafters and the ceiling, or, you know, the space outside of the window. You can go all that stuff. That's especially true with Dishonored, which I'll get to in a second. But basically the sort of story in Prey is you are this individual named Morgan Yu. You can be either a man or a woman. It doesn't matter which. Who is working for this corporation called Telstar, which is in control of this enormous space station that is currently, you know, orbiting the Earth. Well, at least that's sort of how it looks like at first. Basically, you wake up in the morning, you go through your typical day, and you meet your brother in the office building for the Telstar Corporation because you're going to get tested by the scientists to see, you know, if you're qualified to actually go out into space for extended periods of time. And then something weird goes wrong and you suddenly realize that you seem to be in some kind of simulation, basically. And turns out, yes, you are in a simulation, and turns out you've been in a simulation for 3 solid years. And you are, in fact, already on the space station. And the space station has been taken over by this really freaky alien species called the Talos. Well, I think they've got a couple different names. I'm trying to remember what they are. But the very first ones of this kind of alien you come in contact with are called Mimics. And they're basically these weird sort of four-legged spidery things that can take on the image of just about any, you know, object in the immediate vicinity. So, you know, it can be a lamp or a book or a can or something. And, you know, starting out, you're in the game, you don't really have any weapons or anything. You just have this wrench that you can use to beat the thing senseless if you can get in contact with it. But they, because of all that, you basically are, for a good chunk of the game, completely freaking paranoid, because these things can literally beat any small object in any room you go into. And they have a tendency to just kind of pop out and jump at your face. Sometimes if you're really good at observing it, you'll occasionally see some object kind of like twitch, which is usually a pretty good sign that a mimic is in control of it. But yeah, it's the game itself is actually really amazing. It's legitimately, like, much like a lot of Arkane's games, it's legitimately sort of based around this idea of you, you know, basically having to use your surrounding environment in the best way you can. You're basically forced to kind of think outside of the box. You know, a lot of times you'll come across some doors that you can't quite enter just yet. So you have to find some alternate routes. And sometimes that alternate routes means climbing up into the rafters of the ceiling using objects nearby that you didn't think were immediately accessible to start with. You know, stuff like that. But yeah, it's a damn good game. Highly recommend it. And speaking of Arkane, like I said, I'm also Dishonored. I actually played Dishonored back when it originally came out. And really enjoyed it. I never managed to finish it, though, which is kind of why I'm playing it again now. But you guys are familiar with, like, the Tetris effect, right? Where, you know, you play Tetris for enough for a lot of time and you start seeing falling blocks everywhere you go. Yeah, yep. Dishonored had a similar effect with me where I would go into buildings and I would, like, find myself looking up at, like, the rafters and stuff in the ceiling and thinking, like, yeah, I could probably climb up there. You know, stuff like that. Because the whole point of Dishonored is you're basically this dude who's trying to cause as little damage as possible and being as stealthy as possible while also trying to assassinate some key individuals. So, you know, there's a lot of you, you know, going through the roof beams and entering into windows and going through rates and stuff. It's good stuff. What else? Oh yeah, you guys were both talking about stuff on television. Something I started watching on Netflix that I freaking love. Arkane, the League of Legends series. It is amazing. And I don't even play League of Legends, but it is an amazing series. I highly recommend it. Yeah, seriously, I'm not joking whatsoever. It's not terribly long, but it's just a mini series. But damn, is it good! It's animated, obviously, and it's animated in this very sort of 3D, very painterly art style. And just the world building and everything is just amazing. It's really good. Highly recommend. And other than that, I've just been freezing my ass off, really. Yeah, like, you know, as I constantly have to remind people who don't live here in the South, we don't insulate our houses against the cold. We largely insulate them against the heat. So anything below 60 degrees feels like the Arctic Circle. Yep. But right now it's actually 50. So yeah, not exactly surprising to feel extremely cold right now. But yeah. So yeah. Anybody want to add anything else before we move on? Nope. All right. Nope. Okay. Well, then it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, which is Brandon's Random Factoid. And if there's one thing about, you know, living in the internet age that we all despise, you know, and thinking, God, I just, you know, I'm so glad that past generations didn't have to deal with this shit, it's probably spam. And you know I'm not talking about the canned meat product. No, I'm talking about spam emails, robocalls, shit like that, spam comments in the comment section. Like that weird thing that started happening now where you're getting those time comments that are talking about crypto dealers.
Mm-hmm.
That all are like, they are specifically made so it looks like it's supposed to be some actual conversation, but it's in a comment thread that's completely unrelated. Shit like that. Yeah. And that's annoying and stuff. And of course, robocalls hate them, hate everything about them, hate the people that are in charge of making them and recording them.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes you think it's like, you know, you wish that sometimes the internet wasn't invented because people didn't have to deal with shit like this. Now, did they? Yeah, about that. So, the internet, as we know it, is essentially a bunch of computers connected by communication wires, basically. Telephone wires, as it used to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was that big communication device that people used to use before the advent of the actual telephone?
U.S. mail? I don't know.
No, it was that thing that you used where you would send out dots and dashes.
Oh, yeah, telegraphs.
Telegraph machines, that's right. Telegraphs were, of course, as you would imagine, pretty revolutionary. It meant you could basically send out telegraphs and, in turn, send out telegrams as well. Because that's essentially what a telegram was. You would telegraph out a message, charged by the word, and they would be able to record it on the other side, write it down, and then send it to the nearest person that needed it. And it was pretty revolutionary, you know, at least until, you know, Alexander Graham Bell came up with the idea of the telephone. And suddenly, you know, you could actually physically talk to the person on the other end of the line instead of, you know, just sending out a bunch of abstract dots and dashes that then had to be interpreted by the person on the other side who understood what those dots and dashes stood for.
And then deliver to you.
And then in 1864, somebody figured out how to exploit this to send out mass messages to a bunch of people.
No way!
Oh, yes way. So the story goes like this. Over in London, England, they had established the London District Telegraph Company. And what this new company did is that it allowed them to sort of mass send out texts and stuff. Not texts, but mass and send out messages for things like government officials. So like, for example, if war had been declared between someone's country or another, the government office could mass send out a telegram, and the telegram would then go out to, you know, the general, the members of parliament, the royal family, stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in London, there was a dentist's office. And this dentist's office was run by two brothers named Maurice and Arnold Gabriel. And they had this idea, you know, he's like, well, we could maybe take these mass messages, and we could use them to advertise our business, right? So they came up and they dictated a telegram that read as follows: Messengers Gabriel, dentist, Harley Street, Cavendish Square, until October. Messengers Gabriel's professional attendance at 27 Harley Street will be 10 till 5. Of course, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. They put all this then, and then they sent it out to 100 telegraphic dispatches at once, specifically targeting all of the important members of British society. So again, members of Parliament, the royal family, the military higher-ups, they all got this telegram. And understand, this was still during a time when mass telegrams like this sent out were usually done for really important emergency shit. Again, like if somebody had declared war or if a member of the royal family had just died. So you could probably guess when these individuals got a knock at their door early in the morning from a telegram office, they all woke up thinking, oh my God, what the hell just happened? Yeah. Just to open up and look at the telegram and find the stupid advertisement from these two dentists in Harley Street. And if you think this went unanswered, Oh, no, it did. For example, in the London Times, a member of parliament actually sent this following letter to the editor that was then printed. It read as thus, "Sir, on my arrival home late yesterday evening, a telegram by London District Telegraph addressed in full to me was put into my hands. It was as follows." And then he reads out the telegram I just read. He said, "I have never had any dealings with messengers, Gabriel, and beg to ask by what right do they disturb me by a telegram, which is evidently simply the medium of advertisement. A word from you would, I feel sure, put a stop to this intolerable nuisance. I include the telegram and am your faithful servant, Member of Parliament, Upper Grosvenor Street, May 30th. Another gentleman wrote that when he received the telegram, he immediately feared that a fire or some other casualty had occurred before ripping over the envelope and finding out he'd basically been, well, advertised to against his will. It wasn't long before other shady bits started doing the same thing, and they still have not stopped." Now, on top of this, that's like the one kind of spam we all hate, right? The unsolicited advertisement. We all hate them. They're annoying, you know. But then there's that other kind of spam that used to really get around. And, you know, we've had various names for them over the time. But back in the day, we used to call them chain letters.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, now obviously we used to get those in the mail, obviously. But we also used to get them a lot in emails at one time. Now, they're not as common now.
No, it's just Facebook.
At least
now.
I don't think they are. Yeah, it's basically just Facebook and Twitter. and, you know, before then it was MySpace, but that's another story.
Oh, God.
But at the early days of the internet, you know, the early days of casual internet as we know it, like from the 90s to maybe the early 2000s, the early aughts, when I think it kind of dried up for good. Yeah, people used, you know, old people used to send those things all the time of, you know, and usually they had something to do with Jesus or the church, you know, or, you know, stuff like that. Sometimes it had like the fake signature of like some mega church pastor or something on it. You know, maybe it was like Joel Osteen or something. Yeah. But basically, you know what like the general formula for these types of things were, right? It was like, you know, blah, blah, blah. You'll get good luck if you copy this or four. Or 20 or 10 or 15. Yeah. Guess what? They found those types of shit as far back as ancient Egypt. Yeah, the idea of like copying your text or image that will give you great riches or prevent a calamity dates back several millennia.
Oh my
but
God.
But the type that we see, that we sort of imagine of having some very old or very young or very stupid members of your family that would have some sort of weird religious fortune thing to it, those go all the way back to the 1700s. And
they
began, these things, they called them letters from heaven. And they began circulating, and they usually claimed to be written by Jesus Christ himself. And they would usually have texts like, and I'm quoting here, "And he that hath a copy of this mine own letter, written with my own hand, and keepeth it without publishing it to others, shall not prosper. But he that publisheth it to others shall be blessed of me. And if he believe not in this writing, I will send my own plagues upon him, and consume both him and his children and his cattle."
Shit posters, even back then.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I mean, they, you know, and the thing is, those types of letters, those letters from heaven, they kept going all the way into the early 20th century. You know, and eventually, you know, they dried up and they took on the more general chain mail and eventually made its way to Facebook. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically just one of those things to show that the stuff that we think we specifically consider as the perils of the internet, weirdly enough, is much older. So maybe next time, you know, in another random factoid, I'll tell you about how back in the 1800s, they had their own version of LOL speak. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. So, with that out of the way, it is now time to go on to the assholes of the week by doing the show proper. And yeah, you know what's going to start it.
Yep.
We all know what's going to start it. This week, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted of all charges in the trial of killing two people and injuring a third at a protest.
Yeah. Yep.
Not really a huge surprise, especially after the judge dismissed the weapons charge as like the most likely thing.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the first sign that this was not going to go well.
Also, there's just a lot of weird things that happened. So like they let Kyle pull out the jury names out of the box.
To be fair, it was... Yeah, that's usually like a clerk thing. And I mean, to be fair, it was a blind drawing. So it wasn't like he could actually pick them. Still very weird.
That there shows was a very biased view of the kid.
And speaking of the judge, let's just talk about just some of the weird shit he did during this trial. God, where to even begin?
There was a lot.
Yeah. I mean, apparently this judge has, like, a reputation for doing shit like this.
Yeah.
There was the fact that, you know...
You got a call mid-trial.
And it turned out his ringtone was, like, Lee Greenwood.
Yeah, the same ones used at Trump's rallies.
Pretty much every single presidential rally that the Republicans have done since Ronald Reagan. Because that's specifically who Lee Greenwood wrote that song for.
Yeah.
There was him basically making those weird jokes about Asian people because he was waiting for his Asian food to arrive.
That was cringy as fuck.
There
was Bayer complaining about him taking screenshots of long text threads from his friends that are talking shit to him while he's working.
Yeah.
Then he realized, like, they're super tall.
Yeah.
And when trying to zoom in on them, the resolution doesn't hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, use that some way towards the video footage or whatever that was in evidence. I don't know what.
Because you can't do that. You know that thing in the movies where they can't do that in real life.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes the pixels bigger.
Yeah.
And there's a little interpolation, too, from surrounding pixels.
Which is why the reason he would not let some of those into evidence, because he said it would add pixels.
I mean,
at one point, there was also that thing where he went on, like, a weird religious rant at some point. If that all that crap didn't help, it was also didn't help that the prosecution was shit.
Yes.
The prosecution was terrible. Absolutely god awful.
Yeah.
Just what the hell?
The point
before that they brought up, and I said this before the show, the moment they brought up Kyle's Call of Duty scores was the moment I realized that they
just had no idea.
Mm-hmm. That was just so stupid.
Unfortunately, people have taken the wrong lesson from all of this.
Yeah.
People on the alt-right and all that are now very jazzed about their ability to be very aggressive in any sort of public situation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like people in the GOP have... Go ahead.
I was like, that's kind of not the message you should get out of this.
Like he wasn't found not guilty of, you know, shooting people or anything. He was acquitted of these charges. That's a whole different thing from whether he did the thing or not, whether it was illegal or not, because there's a whole set of politics and shit that goes to that.
Mm-hmm. There's also two other things. He's still liable for civil charges. And still not entirely sure that the feds won't go after her.
Yeah, they're... And now there's been three people in the House of Representatives that have said that they want him, that they would take him as an intern. Do you want to guess which three?
Well, I know Matt Gaetz is one of them.
Yeah.
But that's because that was, they slapped it all over the news. I'm going to guess the other one was either Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar.
Paul Gosar is one.
Madison Cawthorn was also one. And I guess Madison Cawthorn was the other one.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure does act tough for a man who could be defeated by just being pushed down a flight of stairs. But, yeah.
And he's the guy that's lied about his past.
Yeah, he lied about, you know, why he got into that accident in the first place. That's another story. Anyway, anyway, that is over. Yeah. But, I am... The thing is, though, even with that one thing, we still had some other major legal shit that went down as well. For example, Jacob Chansley, the guy who most people know as the QAnon shaman, the guy who was among the individuals that broke into the Capitol building on January 6th and just kind of inadvertently became the icon of that whole movement because, well, freaking look at him.
I mean, right.
Yeah. Well, he was sentenced to 41 months in prison over his so let's see, 41, it's about a little over 3 years.
About three and a half years.
Three and a half, yeah.
Yeah, he was very much the model of the stupid people that got tricked into doing this stuff by Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then afterwards, it's like, you guys, jail sucks.
No kidding.
Like, I regret doing this. Like, yeah, you should probably thought about that ahead of time.
Yeah. Remember, the one story I remember is how he complained that wouldn't give him, you know, the food that went for it with his vegan diet.
Yeah. Which I think they eventually granted him that.
Yeah, not without much hand-wringing, though, but yes, they did do that eventually.
I think there's been some of these people who complain like how the DC jails are terrible, which is like, that's been written a lot about.
Yeah. How they are. Have you not gone? I mean, you would understand, the issue if you actually went outside of the Capitol area in DC. Because.
These are the same people that, you know, tell like, oh, black people, you shouldn't be doing anything questionable or should go in jail. It's like, there's a lot of other shit going on there, but also jails are designed to be awful.
Mm-hmm.
And even like potentially illegal in ways like, like one of the Last Week Tonight episodes this season was about how a number of them, especially in the South and Southwest, don't have air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
And how that's... How people in other countries that manage jails are like, that's almost torture, what you're doing to these people. Jail isn't there to torture people. It's to
rehabilitate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To contain them and rehabilitate them.
Yeah, it's not a very American viewpoint, though.
No, ours are punitive. Ours are punitive rather than restorationist or whatever the word is. By design. Yeah. For cheap labor.
For pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. Because I mean, you hear the stories about like what Anders Breivik. You guys remember him, right? He was the Scandinavian guy who went to that youth camp that was run by like the Social Democratic Party, and he shot and killed like 74 people. He was like a white supremacist.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was complaining about the fact that, you know, the gaming console they'd given him in prison did not have the latest games, because that's kind of how they run prisons in, you know, the Nordic countries.
Yeah. You have to be rich to get in those kind of prisons here.
Oh, yeah. But
the ones that get an apartment instead of a cell.
Yeah. Now for another story of amazing comeuppance. Alex Jones lost his Sandy Hook defamation lawsuit by default, and he will be fully liable for all damages.
Yeah, basically just did nothing.
When they asked he literally just ignored it.
Such.
Mm-hmm. And he literally ignored it and pretended it didn't exist.
Yeah, the Connecticut Superior Court Judge Barbara Bellis cited defendant's willful noncompliance with the discovery process as the reasoning behind the ruling. Bells noted the defendants failed to turn over financial and analytics data that were requested multiple times by the Sandy Hook family plaintiffs.
Yeah.
Attorney Chris Matei, who represented victims' families in the suit, said a statement the plaintiffs were grateful for Monday's ruling, but said they're, quote, unquote, battle to shed light on how deeply Mr. Jones has harmed these families continues.
Yeah. One of these families that sued him had to move 10 times because his father kept her.
Yeah, he says here, Mr. Jones was given every opportunity to comply, but when he chose instead to withhold evidence for more than 2 years, the court was left no choice but to rule as it did today. While the families are grateful for the court's ruling, they remain focused on uncovering the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So hopefully they take him to the cleaners, so they have to sell his multiple Rolexes and all this other shit he has while pleading to his audience that he can barely keep his show going and all that.
Mm-hmm. That is, if he doesn't just jump, he doesn't just leave the country entirely.
That's kind of what I expect he'll do.
I mean, you think he won't try to do it. He'll totally do it.
Yeah.
Connections with a couple different people.
He has a helicopter that he used to torture his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Just fly it around their property to like taunt them.
Yeah, he could totally flee the country, and I have a feeling that's probably what's going to do. Either that, or they're going to arrest him while trying to leave in the airport. So,
Yeah.
Thing is, they're going to have to seriously put out like an arrest warrant for the dude, because otherwise, he is very much at risk. In other news of dipshits getting arrested, Steve Bannon turned himself in for his indictment for contempt of Congress. Now, granted, he did not stay locked up very long, but...
No, but I think he's already put in a not guilty plea.
Yep.
Which I don't think will hold up, but we'll see.
Nope.
But he also did get a chance on every major news channel to basically threaten, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and all them...
plug his podcast.
Yeah. Saying, I don't want anybody to take their eye off the ball of what we do every day. We got the Hispanics coming on our side, African Americans coming on our side. We're taking down the Biden regime. I want you guys to stay focused, stay on message. Remember, signal, not noise. Signal stuff where he's talking like Trump did to the Proud Boys. Saying, like, stand down and stand by, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, this is going to be the misdemeanor from hell for Merrick Garland, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden. He said alongside his defense attorney. Joe Biden ordered Merrick Garland to prosecute me from the White House lawn when he got off Marine One, and we're going to go on the offense. We're tired of playing defense. We're going to go on the offense on this.
Yeah. And finally, the House of Representatives voted to censure Representative Paul Gosar over that really cringy anime meme video he sent out of that was Attack on Titan related and show him killing AOC and then trying to kill President Biden.
Yeah, only two Republicans voted to censure him.
Yeah, I think Liz Cheney was one, and was it Adam Kinzinger that was the other?
Yeah, Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, so censoring him means he's pulled from all of his assignments, his committee assignments, which was the only two committees that he was on.
Yeah.
And I believe he had pulled down the video before this, but in response to this, he put it back up.
Yeah.
To show you how stupid and petty he is.
Hey, fucking retweeted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and retweeted it, just... Because that's the playbook. Double down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody calls you on something, you double down. Never admit weakness. Saying that, I screwed up, this was inappropriate, and taking it down, that is admittance of weakness. Or at least that's how they see it.
That is, unfortunately.
But yeah, at this point, I am sort of counting down the minutes until we see an actual honest to God fist fight in for Congress.
I mean, maybe that's what we fucking need. Somebody needs to knock some people's blocks off because they're fucking idiots. I'm thinking about how they do things across the pond. Well, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, definitely, like, I know, you know, in Parliament in the UK, you know, they don't necessarily get the fist out, but they sure do spit at each other.
Yeah. Oh, they have, though.
Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm sure they have violence happen on the floor of the Parliament. And I know in places like in Taiwan and Thailand, they will straight up just beat the hell out of each other. Like, it's not an uncommon occurrence. And to be honest, you know, maybe, you know, honestly, politics is kind of a hard game. Maybe some occasional fisticuffs is called for. The only thing I'm worried about is that the last time that something like that happened, it was basically a portent to the Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the Cain incident, right?
Yep. The caning of Charles Sumner by Preston Brooks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had seen that there's not been very many people have been censured in Congress, and most of them were before around like the 1890s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was like 2009, so.
Yeah.
Wasn't there one around the Nixon era, I think? And that was like the most recent one before 2009 or something. Yeah, it's been like
3 or 4 since then, since the 1890s, where shit went down back then.
They were
a little wild.
Yeah, but moving on from there, we do have our heroes to sort of counterbalance all of that. The first one, Julius Jones. Julius Jones is a man that was convicted of a murder some 20, 22 years ago.
Yeah.
And for years, there has been this sort of doubt that has surrounded it. About his guilt. And then this week, his death sentence was about to go through. And then at the very 11th hour, the governor of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt, called in and gave him a reprieve, commuting his death sentence, but it's now been converted to life imprisonment.
Which at least gives them a chance to,
yeah,
you know, prove that he is innocent if he is.
Yeah.
So he gets a second chance there.
Let's see. How old is he, by the way?
41. He was convicted in 1999. So he's about 20 there.
Well, the thing about what a life sentence is, we call them life sentences. A life sentence is 50 years. Because typically, that's why, you know, usually they end up giving someone multiple life sentences. Multiple life sentence is multiple 50-year sentences.
So they died.
So if he was convicted in 1999, let's see, it's been roughly 21 years. So if he was given another life sentence, it would be like he would be in jail for another 30 years, which means he probably wouldn't get out until he was in his 70s. But yeah, if he's definitely innocent of this charge, this definitely makes it easier that, you know, he can be one of those individuals that actually gets proven innocent and can walk out of jail free rather than a very unfortunate but very real statistic in the United States.
I do like this quote here. Governor Stitt took an important step today towards restoring public faith in the criminal justice system by ensuring that Oklahoma does not execute an innocent man. It's a very, very small step.
It is a very, very small step, indeed.
Because then Kyle Rittenhouse came in and was like, shit all over that idea. That's good news, but
yeah, could have been better. Yeah. And on top of that, here's one of those things. This is just one of those things that's just catharsis of anything. If there's anything that's come out of the whole blockchain technology thing that we almost universally despise, it's non-fungible tokens, right? Yeah. NFTs.
Yeah.
Because the idea is you're supposed to have this this image specifically made for you that will at some point graduate in value and make you really super rich, right? Right?
Beanie Baby, yeah. The common era here.
Yeah. And you know, it's also absolutely wrecks the environment because of the amount of electricity it requires to create one. This week, an Australian man has pirated all the NFTs of Ethereum and Solana crypto networks.
Yeah, it's and put it up on a Pirate Bay style site.
Yep.
That he set up something about 15 terabytes of these images and such. So you can go find them, look at them, did the ultimate right click as the NFT people like to complain about. Anybody's critical of NFTs are called right clickers because they're like, I can just right click and save your image. And I have it. Now you can get it completely here. As this man, Jeffrey Huntley, created the NFT Bay, a new torrent site where anyone can download 15 terabytes of JPEGs from a single source. Yeah, he says here, or the site says, did you know that an NFT is just a hyperlink to an image that's usually hosted on Google Drive or another Web 2.0 host?
Well, they certainly know now.
Yeah, it says, they say in a description page, mocked up to look like the text file that contained the crack instructions for that copy of GTA San Andreas you pirated in 2005. See, people are dropping millions on instructions on how to download images. That's why you can right-click Save As, because they are standard images. The image is not stored in the blockchain. The image is not stored in the blockchain contract. As Web 2.0 hosts are known to go offline, this handy torrent contains all of the NFTs, so that future generations can study this generation's tulip mania and collectively go, WTF, we destroyed our planet for this. And yeah, that's the whole fun thing. He considers the site like an art project. Let's see. References some politicians in the 90s that were anti-LGBTQ. The art that came out of that stuff. But NFTs are not... You don't get the images, you get a link to an image that you can download and essentially kind of get a receipt that shows that you have this link, that you have the right to this link. And all these images are fucking terrible. God, every time I see
it's like the lamest kind of pop art you can think of. It's like, this isn't even like good, like Andy Warhol type shit. Like, this is the type of shit they used to slap on top of Pogs back in the day.
Yeah, it's very much like the sort of art you would get for your avatar on a forum.
Yeah.
And it's also mass produced in the sense that they're all looking, I think, to the right. Usually it's like the monkey ones that just like, oh, it's monkeys in various flavors.
Some different glasses and hats.
And like some have a, you know, a joint in their mouth, and others should be like, yeah, bro. Actually, this is like when you would go into Photoshop and you'd make those signatures for your forms, make them all trippy looking and all this shit, try to make it look edgy and cool. You know, it's fucking stupid as hell.
Yeah.
This is what that is, except you're paying hundreds, if not thousands of dollars for it.
Yeah.
Which,
and like, this art isn't even good enough to be on.
Yeah. Back in the early 2000s.
Like, the best thing you can say about this art is it would maybe make for a good novelty t-shirt line. Maybe.
If you're an idiot.
Or a stoner. Actually, that's in stoners. They're usually smarter than that.
Yeah, they go for Cheech and Chong stuff. And hippie art that they just bring back. It's like, oh, these guys got high. This is pretty cool. NFTs are just fucking stupid.
Yeah. And I'm really not kidding when I say, like, this is the type of stuff you used to see put on, like, Pogs. Because I used to be quite the Pog player back when I was a little kid. And I very distinctly remember seeing art like this on them. Oh my God! Talk about something else. I'm going to have to talk about on Random Factoid one of these days. Yeah, we used to actually play Pogs when we were kids. That was before the internet.
That art had more integrity than NFTs have ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Will ever have.
Yeah, and that ship came in, like, cheap cardboard sleeves on, like, in, like, magazines and comic books and shit. But,
and you got anyway. Your elf pogs.
Yeah, or your Marvel pogs, or, you know, Ren and Stimpy, or Batman, or, you know, sometimes you'd see, you know, like, mid, like, 90s-ass, you know, video game characters on them, like Sam and Max, or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
God, the 90s were a weird time.
They totally were.
That's going to have to be another, yeah, like, seriously, I'm going to have to do a random, because we, like, that was a big damn thing back when I was, like, in fourth and fifth grade, was Pogs. But anyway, so, with that, we're now moving on to the proper show proper, and to start us off, you guessed it, beep beep, here we go, opening up the garage door and backing out the COVID-19 dump truck, and, once again, we've actually got good news to talk about. So before we start, just wanted to let everyone know what the vaccine percentage is for the United States. I'm getting this from U.S. Facts, which has a whole section where they're talking about the vaccine growth in the United States. As of this week, 60% of the United States is fully vaxxed vaccine with against COVID-19, and 70% has gotten at least one shot. So that is very good news. Yep. Still not quite to the 70% fully vaxxed that we need, but considering the rate things are going right now, we'll probably get there before next year.
Yeah, it's hopeful.
Or early next year, at least. Yeah, once all the kids get it.
Yeah. Because that's like a good 20% of the population is kids.
Yeah, the 5 to 11 set.
Yeah. So first story we got here for the night for the dump truck. CDC panel has officially approved the Pfizer and Moderna booster shots for all adults in the United States. So if you are 18 or over and you have already gotten the full vaccine, if for whatever reason you feel like you need to get the booster shot, you can go and get it. But you will probably have to make an appointment, because like as Teresa said at the top of the show, a lot of these places are going to have to be kind of rationing out the vaccines because they want to make sure they have enough ready for the kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's good news. Everybody can get a booster shot if they feel like they need one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we especially encourage you to get a booster shot if you're, say, over 50 years of age or morbidity. So yeah, that's really good news. And let's see, other news we got here. Oh yeah, the other one, the COVID pill. Yeah, Pfizer has officially agreed to license the generic versions of its COVID-19 pill for some countries. So that's good.
It's some countries,
not all countries. I wish it was all countries, but unfortunately, we don't live in that world.
Yeah, their antiviral pill is not yet available to the public, but they are
not yet
seeking the federal authorization for emergency use of the medication in the U.S. That's to treat patients with mild to moderate COVID-19 cases who are at higher risk of hospitalization or death. Mm. But yeah, the agreement for this covers about 95 nations, but omits some of the harder hit ones. Yeah, covering about 53% of the world's population. But yeah, the will be legal in many countries that are classified as either low income or lower middle income or upper middle income territories, but not be available in Russia, Turkey, Brazil, or Romania, all of which are in the world's top 10 countries for COVID-19 case numbers and also considered upper middle income countries by the World Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mexico and Argentina are also not among them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, again, we do have to emphasize that the pill is not a replacement for the vaccine, but what does do is that if you do end up getting it, it will go a long way to treating the symptoms. So, you know, that's good, but it'll definitely, you know, help so that we don't have a hospital bed shortage like we did last year.
Or during summer.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's it for the dump truck. Just roll it back into the garage, shut the door. Join us next week when we will almost assuredly have a new one, have a new dump to talk about. Phrasing. All right, now in non-COVID news. President Biden officially signed the infrastructure bill with a bipartisan crowd into law this week.
Yep. At a big event. Where was it at?
It was at the White House, wasn't it?
Yeah, the White House lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Look, declaring that the new infusion of cash for roads, bridges, ports, and more is going to make life change for the better for the American people.
Mm-hmm.
See how long it takes for that, but... yeah, that'll be much needed.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, somebody estimated that I think like over 10,000 of the bridges in the United States are apparently at only like 50%
structural integrity or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. It's like, yeah, because you got to remember, most of this stuff, the vast majority of our infrastructure was built in like the immediate post-World War II era.
Yeah, I mean, and that was like in our grandparents' ages or longer than that.
Yeah, and most of it, and the vast majority of it, they have not really done a good job of upkeep since then. Like, usually they don't actually do anything until it's on the verge of disaster.
Or sometimes they don't even,
you know, the bridge breaks and like 30 people end up drowning in the river below, you know?
Yeah, and it's... infrastructure is not a thing that often gets serious consideration for funding as much as it should have been.
Yeah, because...
Trump's infrastructure weeks, where you're just sitting in a fucking fire truck and nothing ever gets... no funding ever really gets passed to help things out.
Yeah, but one of the, like, really big ones that's going to go a long way to really helping is they're expanding Wi-Fi access out into rural areas.
Yeah.
I don't know if people notice there are still parts of the United States where people still have to use dial-up.
Yeah,
because they cannot get Wi-Fi.
Some of the money that didn't just get flat out stolen by telecom, who will just say, "Well, you know, we looked into it and it's just not feasible, but we're not going to give you the fucking money back because it's gone." The place where my brother lives was one of the first places that I knew of. They had fiber before I had fiber here in Chicagoland.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice. They're also in the TVA area, which was one of the first, maybe not one of the first, but it was they did the same thing with electricity there.
Mm-hmm.
Which was great. And also part of the whole "Oh brother, where art thou" thing, because the flood that is actually the area where it happened, when they everything.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm still super skeptical that it's going to do as much good as we think it's going to do, because I don't fucking trust the telecom companies.
I don't either.
Yeah, what we need is municipal internet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's exactly what we fucking need.
The internet. Yeah. Treat the internet as a utility.
Yep.
Yeah, like your water, trash, electricity, all that.
Yeah.
Because it is.
That's part of the reason why, like, internet connection speeds are just much better in other parts of the world, because they treat the internet as a utility.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets better when cities do take charge of that stuff.
Because
they can provide better for the pay. It also puts a, you know, boot in the ass of the whatever the local telecoms are to increase their, like, "Oh, we've found a way to get this to fiber somehow."
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and we can't charge you that much because you can just go right to the city.
Yeah. So because of the stuff that, you know, she brought up, there's that other bill that's also voted on, the Build Back Better bill. And it actually passed the House this week.
Pretty much party lines.
Mm-hmm.
One Democrat, Rep. Jared Golden of Maine, joined all the Republicans. Opposition was still 220 to 213.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems like it's going to get some rework in the the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll probably have to come back to the House. But
yep.
Hopefully that gets through, hopefully before the end of the year here.
Mm-hmm.
See, but...
But remember, you've got to have... If it's going to get voted in the Senate, you've got two very big roadblocks to deal with.
Yep.
Yeah. But speaking of the Biden administration, and this is kind of going towards one of the things that's really gone to pot over the last few years, and that's the post office. President Biden has nominated a new chair for the Postal Service Board of Governors, mostly because he's trying to get it so that they can fire DeJoy.
Yeah, the new guy, Daniel Tangerlini, is a Democrat, mm-hmm. also replacing another Democrat, but one that has been a key ally of DeJoy's, mm-hmm. because his term is expiring.
Mm-hmm.
He's also nominated Derek Kahn, a Republican, to replace Republican John Barger, whose term is also expiring. But yeah, there's going to be a new, likely a new chairman for this group, and that could very much be the end for Louis DeJoy, which hopefully happens sooner than later, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how long it takes to go through these sort of nominations. It's not a very, not an interesting position for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, and people are wondering, it's like, wait, so why can't President Biden just fire DeJoy? Well, the thing is, the post office is technically not a political appointment.
No, they have a whole board of directors that does those kind of things or something like that.
Yeah, and remember, the post office is one of those sort of government services that's explicitly spelled out for in the Constitution. You know, it was specifically, you can basically thank Benjamin Franklin for that. But for a while, there has been this string of political groups that have been wanting to destroy the post office because...
It's cheap.
Yeah. And you can also technically, and you can use it for banking too, which is something that some post offices in other parts of the world do. And I'm pretty sure they do it in some states here. But So, yeah, in order to fire DeJoy, the board of directors basically get to a point where enough of them can vote to fire him.
Yeah.
Hopefully that happens sooner rather than later, because that guy is a prick.
Totally. With way big conflicts of interest.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, now for some labor news, because... remember how they were calling October Striketober for a little while?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's one of the first time in years where we've seen this huge amount of mobilization of organized labor in this country we haven't seen in decades.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we got news that it actually works, because Deere and Co. company workers, that's John Deere and company workers, have approved the latest contract offer to end their strike.
Yes. Yeah, that was great news.
Yeah, delivers 10% raises immediately.
Yep.
Let's see what else to do. Let's see. This week's offer kept the 5% raises that were in the third and fifth years of the six-year deal, and 3% lump sum payments in the second, fourth, and sixth years of the deal. Offer would also provide an $8,500 ratification bonus, preserve a pension option for new employees, make workers eligible for health insurance sooner, and maintain their no premium health insurance coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So yeah, seems like they like the new stuff they've changed about this from the last couple votes they've had. So hopefully that works out for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Kellogg strike is still going on.
Yep.
Yeah, wasn't there a potato chip one going on?
Frito-Lay?
Yeah, is that still going? Because I'm still buying a local Chicago brand or kind of artisan chips.
That strike ended back in July.
Okay, I could stop eating pretzels and all that other stuff then, huh?
Or, well, yeah. Yeah, they were on strike in Kansas, I think, Topeka. Yeah, it ended back in July, so you can start eating them again if you want.
Yeah, you can stop buying your Frodo Bay chips.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, some of this shit is pretty fucking good. So, and I mean, of course, you know, a Chicago classic, Jay's potato chips. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It still works.
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about having your head in the sand, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been holding a grudge 4 months later.
Hey, I'm my grandmother's granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. But, let's see. And some more good news. The International released new framework on transgender policy for international federations.
Yeah, this is not like new rules. It's more of a guidance for the various international federations that govern their own Olympic athletes for how they should consider dealing with transgender athletes.
Mm-hmm.
As I say here, the framework is not legally binding. What we are offering to all the international federations is our expertise in a dialogue rather than jumping to a conclusion. This is a process we've had to go through with each federation on a case-by-case basis and see what is required.
Mm.
And they could say 10-point list of principles: inclusion, prevention of harm, non-discrimination, fairness, no presumption of advantage, evidence-based approach, primacy of health, and bodily autonomy. Let's see, stakeholder-centered approach, right to privacy, and periodic reviews. Mm. International federations developing their eligibility criteria are instructed to consider all 10 of the principles holistically rather than picking and choosing some over others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they say they've spent a couple years sort of talking to hundreds of people, sort of try to figure out the best way to go about this stuff. Because before, they've had hard limits for testosterone levels to be considered male or female for that kind of stuff. And that doesn't always work out so well, because sometimes, you know, cis women have higher testosterone than others, and bodies are weird.
That seems problematic. You know, biology isn't totally predictable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, there's swimmers that are just built differently from others, like they're human, you know, seals.
Yeah.
Essentially. It's like they should, you know, be treated just like, you know, anybody else that just has bodies built specifically for their, you know, preferred sports.
Mm-hmm.
And such, as like they have an advantage over others naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody tells them they can't, you know, perform because they have too much of an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, you know, freaks like, was it Michael Phelps?
Yep.
Yeah, really?
So yeah, that's...
Who was like literally, like his, he literally, he was straight up, like he, well, is still a human seal. Like, he could swim incredibly fast, literally only using momentum from his hips. Like,
yeah,
it's insane. But yeah, speaking of Olympic stuff, President Biden has suggested that the U.S. is considering a diplomatic boycott of the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing.
Yeah, over the sort of the Uyghur stuff over there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good fucking idea doing it too. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be, you know, it would be great. Just, you know, I just kind of wish that the, you know, the U.S. government would take, you know, some other major human rights abuses just as seriously. Except, you know, they also happen to be from U.S. allies. So,
yeah.
It's kind of one-sided and cynical, but also completely legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Build Back Better plan was a weird thing, because it allowed Ted Cruz to get on his high horse. Be like, because I guess there was a proposed thing about blocking funding to China for, you know, companies that use the Uyghur labor in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, the Democrats, you know, don't support blocking, you know, the funding for this stuff. It's like, the only reason you're even saying this is because it's the contrarian opinion.
Yep.
Yeah, of course it is.
You don't actually believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And also China specifically, like, tries to hide where they have those people at in a way that mm-hmm. makes it probably much harder to keep track of that than they would like.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to blindly just block all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of production over there, which is not going to work out too well.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But, yeah. So, moving on from there, now we just got one of those examples of how, you know, company naming can really just ruin it completely. The Staples Center in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to be called the Staples Center. After a $700 million deal, it will soon be known as the Crypto.com Stadium.
Yep. Wasn't it, who was I watching who did some shit on that? It was Stephen Colbert. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, and it starts on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, the I believe the deal they had with Staples Center was essentially for life. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, that's great. You kind of go for that because you can get a huge chunk of change out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the being for crypto is just pissing off a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But, yeah, so going on from there. So yeah,
the New Orleans Pelicans arena is called the Smoothie King Arena.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of weird companies that have the money to pay for that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's bananas.
and now for some weird weather and climate stuff. All the way over in Egypt, they are experiencing some storms and flooding in the southern part of Egypt that has caused scorpions to swarm into people's homes, which is just a big old fat bucket of nope.
Yep. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
This is in the Egyptian province of Aswan. Three people were killed and 503 others being stung by these scorpions. These are the... what the specific type is. Let's see. I think it's one of these fat-tailed scorpions that are among the deadliest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can kill humans in under an hour.
Yep.
Nope. No.
Yep.
No. No, thank you.
So yeah, here's a version of a biblical plague happening. So instead mm-hmm. of locusts, it's scorpions.
Yeah.
Yeah, luckily the vast majority of those people, well, I think all of the people were able to be saved with anti-venom.
Mm-hmm.
The three people I believe that died were electrocuted when their camp was flooded.
No shit. Soldiers.
Yeah, soldiers were electrocuted.
Yeah, you would think that a competent state government that has an issue like that would probably have plenty of anti-venom on hand in case something like this happens.
Yeah.
So let's see. What's next? After the locusts, what comes after that? Trying to remember the song from... No, the frogs, I think, was the first... Was like one of the first. I'm trying to remember the song from Prince of Egypt. Which one?
Oh my god.
See, I think there's like the dark. No, I think there's like. I think
is it water
three days.
Turns to blood, amphibians.
Yeah, it was the water turns to blood. Or was it flies? The plague? It might have been the plague as well.
Disease on livestock, unhealable boils, hail and fire, locusts, darkness, and death of firstborn.
Yeah. So, might want to start painting the seals of the upper sills of your door with lamb's blood just in case.
As an aside, did any people who grew up Protestant find it almost revolting that in a certain part, I don't know, there was a certain year where Everybody decided it was a grand idea to paint their front door bright ass red. Did anybody else find that just really, really disturbing?
Kinda.
Ugh. I still am not a fan of red doors, and I'm not even religious anymore.
Now for some good entertainment news. LeVar Burton will be hosting a Trivial Pursuit game show. Actually, isn't there already a Trivial Pursuit game show?
Don't know.
I don't think so.
Otherwise, actually, I think there used to be. Well, he'll be hosting one now, and hey.
Yeah. It's in development right now with Entertainment One.
Mm-hmm.
The hosting gig is part of a deal between E1, which is owned by Hasbro, and LeVar Burton's LeVar Burton Entertainment to develop Trivial Pursuit into a game show format. So yeah, that'll probably be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Much better than doing Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. All right. And next up, we got a teaser trailer for the Pam and Tommy movie that's coming to Hulu. History lesson for anybody who's wondering what the hell this is about. Okay, so you got two people. One of them is Pamela Anderson. Pamela Anderson was a very famous
huge model,
supermodel, and actress who famously got really famous playing on Baywatch back in the day. And let's be honest, there was only one reason to really watch that show, and that was the slow motion shots. And then on the other hand, you had Tommy Lee, who was famously the drummer for 80s heavy metal band Motley Crue. And you know, he's done some other stuff other than that. He famously kind of made it for a little while in the new metal genre with the band Methods of Mayhem. But so him and Pamela Anderson married for a while. It was tumultuous, to say the least. There was some violence involved, apparently.
Yeah.
At one point when their relationship was going semi-smoothly, they started recording things on their camcorder, including a famous point where they had a little boat trip. Some things happen in this recording, including a bunch of really, really, shall we say, revealing sex scenes. Well, they weren't really sex scenes. They were just literally them having sex.
Yeah. They
went to Bone Town, and it apparently revealed a couple things. One, Tommy Lee is apparently not just gifted as a drummer. Let's put it that way. He very famously used it to honk the horn on his boat. And Pam Anderson is, well, I mean, if you ever saw her spread in Playboy, well, like that.
Yeah.
Also, apparently she was really good at giving him. Anyway, point is, at some point, someone managed to, people are sometimes wondering if it was like, it was these guys who were apparently like handymen or something that were doing repairs or something at their house. And the point is, they managed to get a hold of a bunch of videotapes. And these were the videotapes that, well, had said stuff on them. So they ended up putting all of this stuff online.
Yep.
And let me put it this way. Before Paris, Kim Kardashian, there was Pam and Tommy.
Yeah.
And that is basically what this movie is.
Yeah, seemingly from the point of view of the two guys who got a hold of the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Which are played by Seth Rogen and
Nick Offerman. Yeah.
Which is a very weird role for him.
I gotta watch this now.
But yeah,
and then you see the two actors who play Pam and Tommy. And holy crap, the makeup department did a hell of a job because they are almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, it's Lily James and Sebastian Stan.
Yep.
You know, if you've seen any of the Marvel movies in general.
Yeah.
That's the Winter Soldier there.
Mm-hmm. And Lily is, of course, she played Cinderella.
Yeah.
And some other Disney stuff. So it's a bit of a jump, but look at the trailer. They are damn near unrecognizable.
Wow.
Like, yeah, she straight up looks and sounds like Pam Anderson. Yeah. So yeah, this was a little blast from the late 90s, a thing that happened. Yeah.
It's going to be on Hulu on February 2nd.
Mm-hmm. And finally, last story for the night, we got a new Spider-Man note.
Yep, it's a pretty fun trailer. I guess we haven't been paying attention. It spoils the villains, but the whole sort of premise of this is that Peter Parker wants to erase everybody's knowledge of him being Peter Parker, which was a thing that happened in the end of the previous Spider-Man movie, as J. Jonah Jameson reveals that to the world. And he goes to Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange does his thing, and guess what? It goes sideways. It allows villains from, let's say, the previous Spider-Man eras to come into play.
Yeah.
With Green Goblin, Dr. Octopus, Electro, Lizard, and Sandman, I think, as well. At least the ones that they've shown so far.
Yep.
But also, people are finding evidence that the notion that the other Spider-Men are also going to be in there seems unlikely, though they've, you know, shown scenes where maybe certain characters are not necessarily focused on the MCU Peter Parker. That maybe they've done some movie magic to kind of hide these other people. I guess for the part of the audience that has no clue what's going on here. Hasn't seen the leaks yet, but I also think they're kind of just fucking with the people that know. Like you don't get to see this until you go see the movie. While they're just complaining, like, oh, I'm not going to go see it because they're not showing Spider-Man and the other Spider-Man in the trailer. It's like, well, you're going to see it anyway. Yeah, that's fun. That's going to be out, I think, on December 17th, I think it is. Yeah, December 17th. But they're also going to put tickets on sale on what they're calling Spider Monday.
November 29th. Got to make it into one big event.
And they go, can't say Cyber Monday, it's Spider Monday. See, it sounds similar. We're clever.
The 21st century blows. All right. Anyway, I do believe we have a show, right? Yeah, we got ourselves a show. Awesome. All done. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got links for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator that you can think of. So, with that, I have been your host for the most, Brandon Perkins. Join us next week. We will have a bunch of other bullshit to go over. I may or may not talk about Pogs, because I know for sure that at least some of you who hear that were like, wait, what the hell? What was all this crap about with Pogs in the 90s? I'll explain. We were really, really bored before the internet. Until then, Chris Logi and Teresa Sammons, I would like to say good night, sleep tight. And if you have not been vaccinated yet, I strongly encourage you do, especially because winter is coming. And that doesn't just mean cannibal zombies on the horizon, folks. Good night.